Hey, Mujer, it's Micaela, host of the Fearless Mujer podcast. What is the Fearless Mujer? It is a space for the mujer who ever felt rejected, misunderstood, and without a seat at the table. If you are ready to renew your mindset, let go of old versions that no longer serve you, and you're ready to be inspired to fearlessly pursue the dreams on your heart, then I invite you for a virtual cup of cafecito. You can listen to the Fearless Mujer on Spotify, Apple, iHeartRadio, and wherever you podcast.
Hi, Scaredy Cats. We hope you guys are having a great day so far. We are your hosts, Sway and Liz, and for those of you who are new here, welcome to our podcast where we talk about true crime, paranormal, and all other creepy stories. If any of that interests you, make sure you guys add us to your favorites and tune in every Wednesday for a brand new episode. But while you wait for an episode, you can also follow us on our TikTok page called Sway and Liz, where we do post daily content, and you know, we're super close to hitting that 100K mark.
It's almost like an arm's reach, guys. Give us a follow. Insane. Yeah.
100K. It's just insane to imagine that 100,000 people are like following us.
Yeah.
Like, just to put that into perspective, like, it could feel like two stadiums. That is insane. 100K people.
And, like, whenever we hit these milestones and stuff, you always say, like, just imagine, like, this many people in a stadium. Yeah. Then when I think of it that way, I'm like, oh my god, that's, like, insane that much people like our content, which is truly a blessing because this month actually marks 4 years of us doing, like, social media.
Yeah.
So it's a huge, like, it's a huge milestone for us, and we're truly blessed, honestly. And even us starting this podcast, like, it's just another stepping stone to our success. And like, it's been so fun doing this in general.
Yeah, it has. And then also our Scaredy Cats TikTok page and Instagram has been growing a lot lately.
Yeah.
Too, our Instagram, I think it's almost close to 1,400. We post daily on there, but I haven't really been focusing on growing it to these last couple months. But our TikTok, the first few months of us starting, I wouldn't even say first few months, I think the first couple weeks of us starting the Scaredy Cats podcast, literally last year in October, when I was posting clips of it, we grew to 13K. And I think it was really cool because we already had that knowledge of how to grow a page because we've been doing TikTok and YouTube for 2-3 years already. So we had that like experience on how to be able to grow a page from zero to a certain amount. So I think that really helped us out. But we definitely grew super fast on the Scaredy Cats page. So go follow us anywhere on social media, whether you want to, you know, stay up to date with our Scaredy Cats stuff or our Sway and Liz stuff. Definitely go check us out. We have that all linked in the description of this podcast episode.
But if you guys have any stories you'd like us to talk about, feel free to send in those topics at our social media pages at Scaredy Cats Podcast, or you can also use the email in the description of this episode.
And as you read the title, today we're going to be talking about Bigfoot. I personally, I don't know, I'm in between if like half and half of Bigfoot is real, but I am a huge fan of the Bigfoot shows.
Oh, mm-hmm.
So like Finding Bigfoot, all that, like, I was obsessed with it when I was in like my middle school, elementary years.
Mm-hmm.
I was a Bigfoot fanatic. I would literally record these shows on the DVR before I went to school, so when I come back I can, like, you know, eat real quick and then just binge watch all the ones that came out while I was at school.
I think I only watched a few things because we never had cable. We hardly ever had cable, guys. So like when we would watch it, it'd be random, you know.
Yeah.
And like I know I used to actually watch it on YouTube has everything, guys.
Literally
everything. We talked about it in the last episode where like the mermaids and stuff, how I would watch like mermaid episodes and I would watch Bigfoot here and there, but you can totally tell that it's fake, you know, like majority of the time.
Yeah.
You can tell it's fake, but I'm like, is it somebody in a suit or like what is it? Is it a bear like they call like from a while back? Like another thing is too that like when I think of Bigfoot, I think of what's that freaking thing? It looks like a little dinosaur in the water.
I don't know, I forgot its name, but those they look weird,
right? So like every time I think of Bigfoot, I think of that thing. I don't know if
why.
Loch Ness Monster. That's what it's called.
Oh, I thought you meant those little tiny creatures that look like dragons. I'm like, remember the ones that we saw at an aquarium?
Yeah.
That have like the little cute face?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
I'm like, why does that make you think about
Bigfoot? No, I meant Loch Ness Monster. I don't know if I necessarily believe in Bigfoot. I mean, I know that like there'd maybe be a creature, or what if there was just like a hairy man that was up in the woods and people were like, oh my God, that's Bigfoot. And he was like, you know, stranded up there, and like that's kind of like my idea of Bigfoot.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's real.
I'm sure most of you have heard of Bigfoot and what he is, but for those of you who might not be familiar with it, Bigfoot, or also known as a Sasquatch, is believed to be an ape-like creature who is 8 feet or taller. There are numerous sightings of this creature in Washington, the Himalayan Mountains, Ontario, Canada, Idaho, Oregon, and lots of other places. And around 1920, indigenous people claimed that when they were settling down in the area, they would come across these ape-like humans and often referred to them as wild men or women.
I kind of have an image in my head. I just think of cavemen.
Like, imagine.
Yeah.
Just camping and, like, you see this huge old, like, 8-9 feet creature just looking at you from a distance.
I'd start fist fighting
it. That'd be scary.
I'd have to.
You'd fist fight
it? Yeah, because you're in the middle of nowhere, so it's gonna find you regardless. So you either fight it now. Why would you fist fight it? Because you have to either...
from a distance.
Oh, I thought you meant, like... I was just thinking, like, you gotta fight for your life out there.
You would literally start swinging right away.
You'd have to.
Hey, I wouldn't blame you.
You're, like, in the middle of nowhere, and there's nobody else around you. And, like, my biggest fear in camping is, like, coming across something like that.
Like a wild animal?
Yeah, so my first thing would be to fist fight it, because it's, like, they're not gonna expect you. Like, they're gonna expect you to be scared.
Yeah. You gotta stand your ground against a 9-foot creature.
Freaking lessons 101 right now.
But before we get into the sightings and true stories of Bigfoot, I want to talk about a man who claimed to have shot down Bigfoot. And this happened in San Antonio, Texas in 2012, when a man named Rick, who is known as a Bigfoot tracker, said that he set up a trap after hearing a 911 report of a huge hairy animal demolishing other animals in the woods. So in order for him supposedly to lure this thing in, he purchased deer pee, and then he spread the deer pee around the tree and hung the pork ribs. He ended up camping out somewhere close by to the tree, and he claimed to have heard some tree branches breaking. He heard large thumps and, like, the floor vibrating, and before he knew it, Bigfoot was right in front of him reaching for the pork ribs, and then Rick pulled the trigger and killed Bigfoot. He claimed to have shot him a couple times, and a few days after, he released pictures of the creature, which had been frozen. This Bigfoot in general was 8 feet tall and 4 feet wide and weighed 800 pounds. The creature also seemed to have a large cut down, like, its stomach, which Rick claimed was done by the College of Washington State during the autopsy research on this Bigfoot. We're looking at the picture right now. What do you think? Like, do you think this picture is believable or not?
Who would want to spend that much time creating something like this that's that big, you know? Like, it had to be a lot of material, a lot of money spent, right? So that'd be a waste of money. Say, like, he wanted to say that this was really Bigfoot, and then they're like, oh, we don't believe you. Then he's like, dang, I wasted all my money making this thing, you know? So, like, I guess the chances of this being real, I'd say 80% chance. No, you know, 70. I'll say 70%.
Too high?
Yeah, 70% chance for me.
70%? Okay.
Because it looks pretty, like, detailed. Yeah. And, I mean, it looks kind of crazy. It almost looks like a
it does look like a caveman, doesn't it?
Yeah. That, or kind of like a monkey. Yeah. But, you know, like, the evolution of man?
Yeah.
Those posters, that's kind of what it looks like to me. But Rick's discovery even caught the attention of Cliff Brockman, who is a Bigfoot field researcher, and is even in the show Finding Bigfoot. He claims that this might be real because some parts of Texas provide the same needs that Sasquatches need. And Eastern Texas, for example, gets lots of rain, and that's where the most sightings of Bigfoot have been reported in the state of Texas. If you look at Oregon, Idaho, Washington, these places get tons of rain as well, and are known as the states with the highest sightings of Bigfoot. And just, like, recently, guys, like, just, I think, you know, last week, we had, like, this huge old rain shower.
Yeah.
Imagine it pushed out a Bigfoot.
It might have came out,
right? Because it was, like, flooding. Guys, I kid you not, before I continue this on, my freaking little brother, I don't know if he left his window open downstairs or it was cracked. I don't know, something like that. Water was pouring through wet his whole carpet area. Then where my cat's litter box was, there was some kind of leak. It was pouring out. So it was just kind of like we were going underwater over here.
It is crazy, guys. Yeah. I was at Costco with my family and we were checking out. Everybody in Costco, the people that have checked out, you know, after they check your receipt and then, you know, you leave, everybody was waiting right there in the entrance together, like in their shopping cart, because it was coming down so hard.
Like, bad.
Insanely, like, it was crazy. My brother said that it looked like we were having a hurricane.
Yeah, it,
like,
really
going
did.
Through it. Like, it was so crazy, and people ended up bringing their cars to the front of the store, and they were, like, blocking the entrances. It honestly was scary, because there was, like, no way of you getting out, because all these people were, like, blocking every single exit
Bunch
and entrance.
Traffic jams
and people were just, like, wilding out. And then our downtown was, like, flooded. Super flooded. Like, it got halfway to the cars.
Yeah, so
some cars were shutting off.
It was crazy. So I definitely think maybe, what if it pushed out a Bigfoot? Yeah. But based on all this information, it might sound legit, but the thing that makes researchers not 100% sure is that Rick has a history of hoaxing Bigfoot sightings, and he's kind of like, you know, the boy who cried wolf. So he was exposed back in 2008 when he and one of his friends reported to have found a Bigfoot corpse in Georgia. And when researchers went to see it, they found out it was a frozen Halloween gorilla costume. Aside from that, Rick had made over $50,000 on his Bigfoot discoveries.
Which is crazy. And
I mean, hey, mastermind over here, because it's like, if you can make that much money, like, I don't know, he knows how to do it, you know? But ever since that hoax, Rick pulled serious Bigfoot researchers. But ever since that hoax, serious Bigfoot researchers haven't wanted to look into his claims that he had been making about this new Bigfoot corpse that they had frozen. But an anthropologist whose name is Kathy Strain went on television to talk about the picture Rick had taken of the Sasquatch, and she made a very valid point. She said that if Rick claimed to have shot this Sasquatch down with a shotgun, which leaves large wounds, then why aren't they visible in the picture, and why isn't there any traces of blood on his fur? But here's the thing. I guess I'm not trying to, I don't know. I'm just thinking, like, from a theorist point of view, what if he doesn't bleed? Or what if a shotgun doesn't do anything to him because he's so big and hefty? Like, you gotta think of it. If he's, like, this big old beefy thing, obviously, like,
he must have, like, some tough skin, too.
Exactly. And, I mean, he lives out in the wilderness, you know? Like you said, he's got tough skin. I mean, what if a shotgun can't go through him?
I mean, he said that he killed Bigfoot. And then he, if saying that if Bigfoot does bleed, that is kind of true. Like, how
did he freeze his body? A freaking 8-foot freezer?
He must have had a huge freezer or something. A walk-in freezer? Yeah. But, like, she's kind of making, like, a valid point. Like, where is the, at least the traces of blood on his fur?
Some kind of evidence.
Some kind of, like, bullet wound.
Yeah.
But there's nothing. And maybe what's even more sketchy about this is that when, like, these big researchers came out and they, you know, like, can you show us the paperwork that they did at that college before we actually, you know, fly down there and, you know, take everything seriously? He didn't want to show any paperwork of the Sasquatch autopsy.
If you're, like, 100% sure, like, this is what it is, you know? Yeah, okay. I think this guy was just pulling
the fast one. So, do you think he was doing it for the money, or could the corpse actually be frozen and they're just, like, not wanting to take him serious because of his
past? I think that this guy's just pulling a fast one on him.
You think so?
It's like, if you wanted people to believe you, you'd kind of do, I guess, desperate times, right? So, yeah. I would do anything for people to believe me, because after the past few things I would have pulled.
Made $50K?
Yeah.
Easy money?
Yeah.
Why wouldn't he do it again?
Yeah.
For this next one, it is actually an Idaho sighting. Honestly, it just creeps me out because, like I said, we live in Idaho. But this sighting that we're going to be talking about actually happened in Burley, which is probably like at least an hour to 45 minutes away from where we live. Yeah, it's like super close by, but it happened 20 years ago, and it was a very popular case that was also televised. You can find this news recording on YouTube, but a man named Dell, who lived south of Burley by some mountains, was driving up this place that was surrounded by trees. He claimed that he would often go up there to collect some wood for his fireplace, and after he cut down some trees and chopped them up, he started loading them into his truck, and that's when he began to smell something very strong. He described it to smell kind of like a skunk with a rotting stench, and at first he thought it was probably just like a dead animal nearby, but as he was walking to the door of his truck, he thought to himself, why didn't he smell that earlier?
One thing, sorry, before you go on, it's a very descriptive smell.
Yeah, like a skunk with a rotting stench.
Gosh, that would sting, like, that's burn nasty. My nose. Yeah.
So that's when he began to look around, and about, he said, 200 feet away, he saw this tall ape-like creature hunched over staring at him. And Dale claims that the creature put his arms on the tree and started shaking it. He said that he didn't feel threatened by the creature, that it mostly seemed that he was just interested in seeing what Dale was doing, but either way, he was spooked, so he got in his car and drove away, which was a smart idea, because I feel like if it was a Bigfoot or any kind of creature, if that creature felt threatened by him, it could have, you know, done something else.
Massive strength right there, if it's a big old
thing. Shaking a tree.
Yeah. I think that if I was in that situation, I probably would have ran.
Mm-hmm.
But I would have, like, pulled out my phone and, like, you know, took a picture. Because, you know, in situations like that, like, when crazy stuff happens that seems almost unbelievable, you have to make sure you get something for people to believe you, you know? Crazy.
Yeah, he didn't get any, like, recordings. He didn't even go back to take pictures of, like, footprints or nothing. He just, like, had people come down and he told his story and, like, people believed him. So, I mean, you never know. Like, he said he never goes back to that same spot again to get wood, but I mean, who knows?
I just kind of wonder, though, like, if there is such thing as this, you know, like, what are they a danger, you know, to us? Mm-hmm. Are they helpful? Are they just kind of like humans? Like, what are they, you know? Because, like, I when he said tall ape-like creature, when I saw that picture from earlier from you know, that guy, that's what it kind of reminded me of, like an ape. Yeah. You know, and like I said, the evolution of man, how we went from, you know, monkeys to cavemen to men kind of deal. So, like, that's kind of what I think of. But what if certain things were kept, you know, frozen away, and they defrosted, and somehow they were still alive, and these are the things.
Yeah, I think, honestly, when it comes to the Bigfoot, because when we get into this next story, they seem more curious than actually aggressive, because in this next one, I think it happened in Oregon, and there was this family that was, you know, gathering around eating, and it was during the evening times, and it was really dark outside, because in Oregon, there's a lot of, like, empty land, so, like, houses are, like, kind of separate. They have these, like, big, you know, backyard, front yards, or, like, side yards, too. So, there was this family that had this house, and they had a big patch of land, and it was all fenced up, but there was a part that wasn't fenced up because it headed down into some trees, like, a forest-like area. And when they were eating, she said that family kept hearing, like, something thumping, like, you know, when you knock on the window and that, like, echoish sound that it makes. So, they were sitting down eating, and they kept hearing that sound, and they were, you know, looking around to see what was going on, and they couldn't find anything. And so then when they were all done eating and the wife was washing the dishes, while she was washing the dishes, right in front of her was this huge window. And when she looked up, there was this, she said, this huge ape looking creature, like super furry, just like taking a peek through the window, seeing what they were doing.
God.
And I imagine just being like that, like a window away from
I'd probably start
a creature
throwing
like
plates
that
at the window or something.
That'd be scary.
Yeah. Or I'd go running around screaming my head off.
And so there's a lot of other cases, especially in Virginia too, and I think in Colorado, where they're just like peeking through your window, seeing like what you're up to. So it seems like they're just interested in like what you're doing rather than actually attacking you.
Or
there's hardly
just,
been incidents of Bigfoots attacking humans.
Yeah. Because what if, like, the way we see them, they see us, you know?
Yeah, they're like, these people look weird.
Yeah, like, what the heck are
these
they?
Tiny
like,
little people.
Yeah, so, like, what if that's kind of how it works? Overall, I'd say Bigfoot will always remain a mystery to me.
Yeah.
If there's such thing as it. But if there is, like, I don't know, as long as they're not a danger to us, I mean, it wouldn't be too bad.
Like you said, I think it'll always be a mystery. But if I had to, like, say what it was, I just think it's, like, a like, long-lost civilization that's, you know, out there living in, like, the wilderness.
Okay.
Honestly, that's my take on it. I don't know, but I would go Bigfoot hunting. I think it would be fun.
I would go, you know, I wouldn't say hunting, because if you're going hunting, you're
searching.
Hunting. Searching. I would
finding.
Go on, yeah, I would go on a Bigfoot find.
On a Bigfoot finding adventure.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, we're going on a Bigfoot finding adventure.
Unless it starts attacking me, then you gotta do what you gotta do. But
we do have a lot of listeners that are from like Canada. There's a lot of reports in Canada, and I think we do have a small audience in Oregon. So if you live in like those kind of areas, and if you've seen something unexplainable, it necessarily doesn't have to be a Bigfoot, let us know anywhere on our, you know, social media pages. We'd love to hear your guys' stories. We could even do a part two of this Bigfoot one, talking about your guys' stories that you guys send in.
Email us, guys. I would love to read about that.
And if you know, if you want us to talk about it on an episode, if you want us to say your name, let us know. If you want us to say your name on the episode, if not, we won't say it. But I think it would be fun if you guys would send in your, you know, your stories, and we just like read them
even
on an
thoughts.
Episode.
Yeah, that would be
it
so
would
fun.
Be it'd be crazy. But yeah, let us know what you guys think. Is Bigfoot real? Like I said, send in all your questions, all your stories to our social media platform. And we want to thank you guys for joining us today. Don't forget to follow us on all of our pages at Scaredy Cats Podcast, and that's Scaredy Cats with a K. Also, if you enjoyed today's episode, leave us a review letting us know what you loved about it. We would really appreciate that. But without further ado, we are out. Peace.